Today is the final of three Sundays, which I've focused on this idea of Sabbath or rest. A few weeks back in our combined service, we looked at the command to observe the Sabbath that we find in Exodus and Deuteronomy, and we looked at the difference for the reason of those commands in those two passages. As we talked about in Exodus, it was about God's created order. It was the reason. So God created and then rested, and so that was what the Israelites were to do. In Deuteronomy, however, it was about God's deliverance from captivity. That was the reason for them to rest and for them to not effectively put other people into slavery and to make sure that everybody was having a rest because God delivered the people of Israel from captivity. In both instances, of course, the command is the same. And so the principle is incredibly important for us, but it's interesting to see, I think, a biblical example of time passing and tradition being developed and reinterpreted in the light of the current context. Last week, we saw Jesus building his critique of the burden that the people were under from the religious leaders, the way that they were interpreting the law in the prophets and then applying it, leading Jesus to invite people to receive his rest rather than being weighed down by the unfair or perhaps even incorrect interpretations of the law. And those people had, as we have, a choice about who we are to be yoked to, who we're going to be yoked to and what burden we are going to receive. If we receive Jesus's, it's his invitation to his easy yoke and light burden, and to walk with him in that Message translation in the unforced rhythms of grace. A wonderful invitation. So yes, we looked at Matthew, the full chapter of Matthew 11 briefly last week, which finishes with that invitation to rest. But I think the chapter division in our Bibles is a little bit unfortunate, because the beginning of chapter 12 continues this discussion about rest and Sabbath. The critique that is building in chapter 11 comes to a head at the beginning of chapter 12. But before we read that together, there's a bit of context that I think we are missing in the text that Matthew assumes or knows that his original audience would have been familiar with. We would be forgiven for missing that conflict or that the build-up of the critique if we just look at the text. He isn't specific about the burden that he is contrasting his own with, because his hearers would have been familiar with something else. So for us, we need a little bit more info, and that information can be found in what's known as the Talmud. Have people heard of the Talmud? So a few people? Yeah, great. So it's a collection of Jewish writings and scholarship that had been first orally transferred throughout the generations until it was written down. And this was the central Jewish text until modernity, so around the 1700s. And within the Talmud, you find more about how the Jewish people were applying and interpreting the law, particularly in the Torah, those first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And if you were to ask questions of the Talmud about how the Sabbath law was to be applied, you would find 39 different prohibitions. I'm going to see if I can put them up here. I'm not going to read them because there's a lot there, but you get the picture. There was a lot that you weren't meant to do on the Sabbath. And it was certain sects of the religious leaders who sought to enforce these rules. And what Jesus is likely referring to when he talks about his burden being light. The invitation to rest under Christ's burden, when you look at this list of 39, suddenly becomes a lot more attractive, I think. But it is the interpretation that the religious leaders and the tradition that they are holding on to and demanding of everyone that Jesus again comes into conflict with. So we're going to read that now in Matthew 12, 1-14. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on the Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. I'm going to put the list back up here just so you can ponder it. When considering the way that Matthew presents Jesus building his critique, I found this encounter with the Pharisees to feel much more intense than on the first reading of just that passage. Again, there are comparisons being drawn between David and Jesus, between David's followers and Jesus' followers, the priests of old and the current religious leaders. Despite the former all being highly revered by the Pharisees, in their vigor to enforce the law, they selectively forget these events because they don't line up with their interpretation and application. David and his companions ate bread reserved only for priests to eat simply because they had no other option. The priests worked on the Sabbath and yet were not considered guilty of breaking that law. When the law was held up as gospel, so to speak, and someone interprets it in a fresh way, it's no wonder people got uppity about it. In fact, I think too often we in the church are a bit more like Pharisees than we would care to admit. We are often the ones that hold on to tradition in the face of people asking questions of it. We're the ones who get defensive when our worldview is questioned rather than humbly seeking to understand different perspectives. We are the ones who often would prefer things to remain as we know them rather than asking what the Spirit of the risen Christ is doing now. We are the ones who often desire sacrifice, not mercy. The accusation that Jesus levels at the Pharisees. They didn't understand what God was saying through the prophets. Either that or they didn't like it, so they ignored it. 700 to 800 years earlier, Hosea had spoken the words that Jesus was quoting. Hosea 6:6 says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Again, the law required burnt offerings. But God is saying through the prophet that this is not the most important thing. The important thing is mercy. The important thing is the person that is right in front of you. The community, the city, the country, our world that we are a part of. Mercy, not sacrifice. In the face of changed and changing times that are stressful and are uncertain at times, Jesus reinterprets the expectation of the law to focus on mercy for those in need. He removes the expectation of all the don'ts that people had and shifts it to the do's. He does this because it is he who is Lord. He is Lord of the Sabbath, Lord of all. The do's that he points us to, it's simple. It's do good. It's mercy. Like Jesus says, as he heals the man with the shriveled hand, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, to treat others with mercy. He is inviting us to not overlook that person in front of us because of a law that seems to imply that they need to sacrifice something first. Sacrifice is never first. It's always the other way around. Love first. Think of the woman caught in adultery that we read about a couple of weeks back. Jesus didn't say, "Go and sin no more, and then I won't condemn you." He says to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more." Mercy first, hope first, love first. You might feel like I've digressed a little bit from the theme of Sabbath, so let me bring it back around to us today at the end of this first month of 2021. The question for us as this year, as it is each year, is who is Lord? Whose will and whose way will we follow? Will we get tied up in knots as we try to earn the grace that has already been given to us? In my experience, many of us and many people I know have huge lists like this of do's and don'ts. Are we willing to release them to yoke ourselves to our Lord Jesus? Will we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, that it is his way that we are to follow? And will we work as if it is his world in the power of the Spirit that we are partnering with him to bring the kingdom to? To be honest, it's much easier to focus on the don'ts and to get bogged down in those because they're clearer, right? If we look at that list and we go, okay, well, I haven't done that this week, so I'm okay. It's much clearer. It gives us certainty. The Sabbath or Jesus rest that he invites us to is not a free-for-all to do whatever we like. It's an invitation to do what he does, to work with him, to work towards mercy for all. To encounter people where they are at, rather than expecting them to be something else or somewhere else. And this, I think, is Jesus' rest. To rest in that work with him. It's not to say it's not hard. It's still a yoke. It's still a burden. But it is easier than something like this. The Lord of the Sabbath desires mercy, not sacrifice. And for me, that is a bit of a relief. It brings me rest. In Mark's account of this episode, he includes another statement made by Jesus. In Mark 2:27, Jesus says, "Since the Sabbath was made for humanity, not humanity for the Sabbath." I think he's saying that the Sabbath is a gift from God. Rest is a gift. So if we let go of our expectations or others' expectations and desire and act mercifully, I wonder how that would shift the work that we are to do as disciples of Jesus. If we do that this year as we work with Jesus, I believe we will find rest with our Lord. I pray that that will be all of our experience.